Today begins season two of the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast, and we have a guest host, Dr. Jean Leffers.
Welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Jean Leffers. I'm a professor emeritus of nursing living in Warren, Rhode Island, and I'm involved with the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. To kick off season two, it is my pleasure to interview podcast host Beth Schenk. So I'll begin with some questions here for Beth. Could you tell us about yourself and your nursing background?
Well, I've been a nurse for 33 years. I had some experience doing some nurse's aid work in high school, which put the seed in my head, basically, that I like nurses. I later went to school and graduated first with a degree in botany, and I studied the sciences, started out in chemistry. And worked in botany for a couple of years and thought that, you know, I really do want to work more with people. And I thought I'd be a nurse for a little while and see what happens. And that was really reflecting back to my experience with nurses. So I always thought nurses were sensible, caring, practical, and usually funny. So I got started, and that, and lo and behold, it's 33 years later.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you added the funny part, because I found that that's really an important factor in trying to keep with our work. So in particular, I know you have a long history of working in environmental health. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I think because I studied the natural world first in botany, and also really had a long interest since I was a kid, since I was a little girl, long both interest in how the natural world worked, and also I found solace in the natural world. So whenever I was upset, going outside helped. Whenever I was curious, learning about something that was happening in the natural world helped. And so somehow that's just always been in my background, as it is for many people, because, you know, we live in this remarkable, incredible world. So we're generally speaking kind of curious about it. And also, even back then, I had concerns about what we were doing to the planet, and had studied some wilderness studies, had done a lot of time in the backcountry out here in the West. And by the time I got to the hospital in as a nurse, I already had habits of recycling and of watching for resource consumption and of being concerned about pollution. And then in the hospital, I saw, wow, this is really out of control in terms of the amount of waste we produced. I wasn't very aware at that time of chemicals, though I've learned a lot since then. At that time, climate change had barely been mentioned. This was in the mid-80s. And so it was really focusing on waste. And so early on in my career, I was trying to find solutions for, can we do something with all this waste? Can we at least recycle it? Could we use more reusables? Could we avoid some of this in the first place? And so my experience with environmental health really came more from the sustainability side, even 30 years ago, than from particular exposures to chemicals or air pollutants or toxic agents. And since then, I've learned a lot about the epidemiological side, but it really started out as this interest in how do humans live sustainably on the planet, and how does nursing intersect with that, and healthcare more broadly?
Well, thank you. You did a nice job of really linking health and the environment, and really a bit of why it's really an important issue for nursing. So do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, over time, I've come to believe that for a few reasons, that nursing is has a tremendous potential in this area. I want to be careful not to say that nursing is the cause of this problem, and you'll understand what I mean in a minute. Because how I see it is, nursing is the largest professional body in healthcare. There are between 3 and 4 million nurses in the U.S., depending on the source. We are present in almost every medical/clinical encounter. Usually there's a nurse involved or nearby. In hospitals, in acute care, nurses are 35 to 40% of the workforce. So nurses have an incredible impact on healthcare. I mean, in sometimes I think healthcare is mostly focused around nursing. Now, other professions wouldn't see it that way, and we don't need to, that's not to make an argument. It's just to make the point that nurses have a tremendous role in healthcare. Also, healthcare is extremely polluting. So you could infer then, well, nurses then are the problem with this pollution. I don't see it that way. What I do see, though, is nurses have a lot of opportunity to get involved, to try and change practice, to educate other nurses, to educate patients and communities. And further, we're professionally obligated to do so. This is not just me saying this. This is the ANA, the American Nurses Association, in our scope and standards of practice. Standard 17 states that the registered nurse practices in an environmentally safe and healthy manner. So there are a number of competencies that go with that, as usual with our scopes and standards. And one of them that stands out to me is that basically we don't want to be causing harm with our practice. So I translate that to say we don't want to pollute. And in fact, we do pollute. And many of the aspects of pollution that come from healthcare are really in the decision scope and span of nursing. Now, most clinical nurses at the bedside don't feel they have the power or authority to make these practice changes. And that's probably true because no single person can change everything about nursing practice. However, as a professional body, we are responsible. And nursing, you know, is not shy to take responsibility for its practice. And I believe that this is an important feature that has largely been ignored, or people aren't aware of it, or it's too complicated, or it feels like the decisions are made elsewhere. And I can explain what I mean by that. But in the end, really, it's up to nursing as a profession to take responsibility for our own, the harm that comes from our own practice decisions. And pollution is one of them.
Yes, thank you. And you did mention how nurses have many roles looking at environmental health, and some are involved, and you have been, in nursing research and other areas of advocacy and education. But you particularly focus in the practice setting, and I know now that whole issue of how nurses contribute to pollution and how we make a sustainable environment are the focus of your work currently. So could you tell us a little bit more of what you're working on and what your goals are moving forward?
Sure. For my doctoral work, and this was my initiation into research, really, was I developed a tool called the Nurses Environmental Assessment Awareness Tool, or NEAT. And that is a set of six scales that are linked together that measure nurses' awareness of common impacts, pollution impacts of healthcare, how related they are to health, do they impact health, what nurses do about it at work and how easy or difficult that is, and what they do about it at home and how easy or difficult that is. So I tested this with 700 nurses in three Western states. It has since been used across the nation multiple times and in other countries as well, I believe about 9 countries by now, and translated into 3 different languages. So there is interest around the nation and the world to see what people can do to encourage nursing to reduce their pollution. I'm interested in understanding the habits and trends that make this easy or difficult. What are barriers to in the workplace? And I know something about that because I've been working as a sustainability leader for about 25 years. I mean, early on, I wasn't a leader, but I was trying always from the edges to say, hey, let's try this, let's try that. And over 25 years, we've been able to do a lot of things in my single hospital, which is in Missoula, Montana, as well as in our health system across Providence St. Joseph Health, which is in 50 hospitals in 7 Western states. So I've learned a lot about the operational side of reducing pollution. And I think about that in 4 categories. Basically, energy, water is together. And that is something that nurses often feel like they can't do anything about because it's done in operations and it's done by facilities managers and engineers. But what nurses can do is ask their practice sites to be more efficient. this is a perspective shift for nursing, because oftentimes nurses feel like they're employees and they're laborers and they're, you know, working against administration or victims of administration. But what I say is nurses actually choose to practice in a practice site through their professional role and their professional obligation. Therefore, it's up to them to push and ask the practice site or the hospital or the clinic to be in alignment with nursing professional obligations. So this is a place where nurses can literally ask the hospital, hey, I am in violation of my professional standards because of the pollution we're causing, for instance, through our greenhouse gas emissions. Now, most nurses don't connect those dots and go to that point, but what I'm saying is that's the kind of power and potential power that nursing as a profession has to push on our organizations to actually stop or decrease our pollution. Okay, so one category, as mentioned, was energy and water, and that's both the operations, but it's also things like commuting, and it's also things in the nursing practice realm that is more tangible, like when we choose products, let's try and choose energy-efficient products. Let's try and look at when can we use rechargeable batteries. Let's say, what is our plan at discharge to power down a room, for instance, turning off lights, turning off the TV, putting the bed on standby. We use an incredible amount of energy in health, in acute care, and my background is in hospitals. And nursing can be very smart about how to decrease some of those impacts. So we do have something to say about energy. The next category is waste, in my way of thinking, and waste is tangible, visible. This is a place where nurses really grab hold and do a lot. This is probably one of the areas where nurses have been the most effective, and this is for many years. Waste segregation is key, getting stuff into the right waste stream that both protects the environment and saves resources and saves money. We don't want to over-treat materials that aren't necessary. So in other words, you don't want to put newspapers that are not infected into the infectious waste bin, or you're spending a lot of time and energy and money to treat a newspaper. So waste segregation is important. And also, this is where, when we can drive waste products out of the landfill appropriately into recycling or into donations or into reuse categories, we can really both decrease our contribution to landfill and save a lot of money. Nurses have been real leaders in this area. The next category, in my way of thinking, is toxic chemicals. And we have the problem that nurses are exposed and overexposed to chemicals in the workplace. What I have read is that nurses are second most exposed, and first being janitorial staff. We don't want anyone exposed to these chemicals. We know that a number of them are hormone-disrupting chemicals, and we have a profession that is still about 90% female, and most of them at the bedside are in their reproductive years. We don't want our professional staff members exposed to these chemicals. So there's a lot of work being done on that across the country. It's very complex, as you know, but this is a place where nurses can say, I don't want to be exposed to these chemicals. Please, let's not buy products with, for instance, DEHP. That is a diethyl hexylphthalate. That's a softening agent in many, many IV tubings. And when nurses handle the tubings, handle the bags, they're exposed to this chemical. That's not what we want as a profession. And then the last category in my way of thinking is engagement. And that's really, how do we educate each other about this? How do we get people involved? How do we talk about it with our colleagues, with our leaders, with our patients, with our communities? And nurses also have done fabulous work in this area. Oftentimes they might approach this through healthy food systems, working on gardens and CSAs and getting chemicals out of institutional food, using reusable dishware so that we reduce waste and we're also not exposed to chemicals in, for instance, polystyrene. So there are many, many, many ways that nurses can be involved and that are tangible and that we know a lot about. There's a lot of evidence that supports many of these challenges. So hope that helps.
Yes, and thank you. And you also went back to expand on a statement you made earlier about nurses can feel like the decisions are not being made where they can have an impact. The decisions are made elsewhere. So you really gave a lot of key ideas for how nurses can make an impact. So along those lines, you know, what motivates you for this work? How do you stay motivated, and what is your next step? What would you like to move forward on? Because you're obviously got a lot that you are already doing.
Well, yeah, you know, I have asked that question of others about how, what motivates them, and I have thought about it for myself, and I don't fully know. It just seems to be an intrinsic, undying font of energy, and I think it's just because wherever I look out into our beautiful world, I see marks of human activity, and that's both wonderful in terms of our creations and our art and our solutions and our technology, and it's also alarming in terms of our of climate change, in terms of our you know, vast impacts on other species. So I'm concerned about biodiversity loss, and that is not only because I think it's unfair to other species, but also because it undermines the health and functioning of our planet in terms of ecosystem services. The ecosystem of planet Earth is complex and miraculous, and it actually is very, very functional. We can't survive without it being functional. And so I'm not saying we're on the brink of extinction ourselves, though some scientists think that we're headed that way. I think more that, wait a minute, why would we mess up this incredible planet that we have, that we are dependent upon for every single thing that we ever were and ever will be? So that is a, you know, that's a very strong lens that I see the world through. And that hasn't changed in, you know, 50 years. And so it doesn't really require motivation. It's more like then what is the response? I feel like, you know, best reaction I can have is from myself, because this is where I come from and my agency, is to work to defray and decrease our human impacts, because we need the planet to be functioning well. So I don't know. I guess I don't get too daunted by things that don't work. I'm not overwhelmed that, you know, everything that many things are seem to be unraveling at once. I just think this is where we are in the point. We're at this point in history, and therefore, you know, what I say sometimes is, those of us who are alive, who actually are noticing this, it is our responsibility to act. So it doesn't exactly require motivation in a way. I just seem to have that drive. But you asked what else I'm working on, and what I want to do continuing is, I'm working with other colleagues that you know, to have developed, led by Dr. Shanda Demarest, and she's been on the podcast. It'd be great for folks to go check out her interview. The Nurses Climate Challenge, and this is a goal of educating 5,000 healthcare professionals about the health impacts of climate change by the end of 2019. And it's aimed at nurses, because nurses, again, are most trusted voice in America for many years running. There's lots of us. Every 100th American is a nurse. We are good at translating information. So the goal is to get nurses engaged to speak about this incredible issue that we're faced with, which is climate change, and the amazing health impacts that we are seeing now and will see more every year and every decade, to kickstart this 5,000 group of 5,000 health professionals who've been educated. So that's exciting. People can learn about that at nursesclimatechallenge.org and get involved. And then another thing I'm working on with colleagues, and including Dr. Demarest and also Kara Cook from Annie, is the CHANT tool. So that is the Climate Health and Nursing Tool. And that is a survey that we hope will provide longitudinal data to watch the nursing profession and individual nurses' understanding of and engagement with climate change and health over time, so that we can measure year to year and report out to the profession. That's the goal. And we're in the development phase of that, but getting close to the next phase. And people can learn more about that by Googling CHANT or looking on the Annie website. Annie is the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, and that's environ.org. So those are some areas that I'm I'm working on, certainly. And climate change, I think, is, you know, it's going to take lots of work for many years, many decades, the rest of my life, certainly, and beyond, because we have not turned the corner yet. We're not seeing the decreases that we need to. And, you know, the window for being able to actually stay in a safe and healthy zone is beginning to close. So there's much work to be done there, and I'm eager to continue my work. There are also, I feel very compelled about the nursing profession in this regard. So I also am continuing to work on that in terms of education and messaging and authorship and advocacy. And it's not just climate change. It's really this whole picture that I've described in our conversation.
What is your biggest concern right now about environment and health? Do you have ideas for improvement to mitigate this concern?
Well, it's kind of the whole caboodle. You know, I know that climate change right now, and I'm very concerned about it. It is the defining issue of our time environmentally, I believe, because it's happening quickly. Yet, that's not the only issue. I think the cause of all of the issues are related, though. So let me say what I mean. I think that the climate change is, as I mentioned, a now becoming visible, pressing issue, definitely related to health. But so is burning through our resources. So is biodiversity loss, as I mentioned. So is the introduction of vast numbers of toxic chemicals every year that have not been tested, that we now see are disrupting metabolic processes in other species and ourselves from in utero to death. So it's not just climate change. It's this whole approach that humans have taken in the natural world. And that tells me that the root cause is related to our approach rather than only to fossil fuels or only to chemicals or only to thinking that the world is completely disposable and there is no end to our available resources. And that is a very complicated question. It's cultural, it's religious, it's philosophical, it's scientific, it's habitual. And I can't, there's not a single solution for that, except I think that helping to identify the values that people hold that actually support them wanting to see a future for their children and grandchildren, for future generations, for other species, to connect with that sense of hope as well as a sense of justice that people might have. Because for me, this really does come down to justice, mostly. It's not fair to the planet itself. It's not fair to other species. It's not fair to the poor and vulnerable, because they, the humans with less means, feel these impacts more. And it's not fair to future generations. So that, to help humans to reorient a bit so that we can cause less harm in this regard. And I'm not taking away from the wonderful contributions that humans make. It's incredible what humans have been able to do and will continue to do. But this particular issue of the way that we live on the planet is a crisis. We are in an environmental crisis. I'd say we have been for many decades now. And again, like I said before, it just so happens that those of us alive right now in this point of history are facing this. And it will be, as mentioned, the predominant feature, I believe, of our potential as a species and of our planet for decades to come.
I agree. I really, your comments resonate with me. And you did mention when you were speaking before about the creative, artistic, the solutions and technology of human impact and how positive that can be. And maybe we can be hopeful that some of that will be brought to bear on all of the concerns you mentioned around climate change, biodiversity loss, using resources and addressing toxic chemicals. So with that in mind, Is there something particular you would say to your community, nation, or world about environment and health, or to some profession? You've addressed a lot of that in your comments, but something that you would really like to get out there for us to hear?
Well, at risk of being too preachy, I just ask all of us to consider these issues of justice and what kind of legacy do we each want to leave, and what kind of legacy as a culture and as a species and as a profession of nursing do we want to leave? And I just want to say I really am optimistic. I'm for some reason an eternal optimist, and I see all sorts of incredibly positive things happening around the world. It is so astonishing to look at all of the different organizations that are bubbling up, the different ideas, the solutions that are often rather local and city-based. We have a little bit more struggle at our federal level, perhaps, in terms of getting some of these issues reined in, but there's so much happening across our nation alone. And then you look at Europe, which is generally ahead of us in many of these regards, and across Asia and Africa, there are wonderful things happening everywhere. So I do think it's really important to remember that, especially if people feel a bit hopeless sometimes. I spend most of my time reading in this literature field, thinking about this, and I'm not hopeless. I'm optimistic. That doesn't mean I think everything's roses and all problems are going to go away. But I think we are currently discovering new and important and satisfying ways as we try and reckon with this issue that will, I think, take us to a more sustainable future. At least I certainly hope so. So I guess I would want to say, yeah, these problems are real and they're serious. And also there is hope. But some of that hope comes through our own action. We need to, I think, just like is happening around our nation these days, we need to mobilize and get out there and talk with people and vote accordingly. And I think, again, nurses are in such good positions to be effective in this way, especially in the areas where we have expertise. And that's really in translating health issues, talking with people about it, being able to do assessments at all levels, including community assessments, and help to build better communities.
Thank you. And what you said resonates with what I know about you. You have this boundless motivation to keep with this work because of your hopefulness and your sense of justice and passion to make a better world. And I think that balance is very important. You spend a lot of time in the science, but also to say, what can these sustainable solutions be, and how can nurses be part of that? So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your involvement and role in the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments.
Yeah, so the Alliance has been around, I think, 10 years now, and I've been involved for 9 of them. I'm on the board, and I also chair the practice work group. What I have done in terms of practice is really wanting to reach more nurses. So one approach is this podcast, and I think it's been so interesting for me. I mean, I don't know if you're experiencing this, Jean, but when you have the chance to sit down and talk with someone for a while, I've learned so much from all these people, including yourself and the other 25 or so people I've interviewed, that I had no idea about. And it's just really interesting to understand how people's lives lead them to different places. And I think that has served, if the people who have listened, that serves as just an example of how different nurses are involved in this area. And it's not all about sustainability work. A lot of the people I've interviewed are researchers, and they're public health experts and epidemiologists, etc. So I think the podcast is one contribution I make to Annie. Also, just from the practice side, when nurses are trying to find their way through the Byzantine organizational structures of hospitals to make changes, I end up talking to a fair number of them. So they may call Annie or email the Annie staff, and they'll send them to me. So I have conversations with nurses around the country probably every couple weeks, just helping them get started and oriented and little bit focused. And I think that's a valuable role that Annie can play for nurses who really are frustrated and want to do something and don't exactly know where to start. I also help with strategic planning and that sort of thing with Annie. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the organization.
You're not just a fan. You're one of the most energetic and productive members in our group. I think particularly these podcasts, as you mentioned, are such a wonderful way to get the word out that nurses can approach the topic of environment and health in many ways and can find solutions that are relevant to their own personal and professional lives.
I would say to anybody who's listening, check out the Nurses Climate Challenge. That's really valuable and easy, and it's a great tool, and there's a set of tools. Also, if you would, look up the CHANT tool. We're trying to collect that data. Another area is just to look at the Annie website, get involved, check that out. I would also say it's a new area in terms of nursing science, but I didn't talk about this very much, but I really think we need scientists in nursing who can help do the analyses for practice issues of comparing different practice processes and products that will tell us something about their environmental impacts. Because right now we end up relying on vendors and the developers of products. This is like a whole area that nurses could revolutionize the products that are available through entrepreneurship and innovation and product development and product analysis. I think that's a gap that nursing could really fill. And I also think in terms of life cycle analyses of our different processes and products in practice, that too is an area that really needs to be addressed because we don't even know. We try and say, well, which is better here, reusable gowns or disposable gowns? You know, it takes each time a different hospital needs to figure that out. And that's something that we could contribute to as scientists in our literature. Also, there are many, many opportunities for doctoral students, both PhD and DNP students, to work in these areas. And if there's any interest at all, I'm a total advocate for advanced education. I did earn my PhD, and when people ask me, is there anything you regret? I said, why didn't I do that earlier? It's fantastic. And so if anyone's thinking about that, just check it out and go for it. And there are opportunities in environmental health. They're not as easy to find money for sometimes if you need funding, but it's not impossible. And, you know, I myself, and I'm sure others in Annie would be happy to talk with people about that. So there's endless things that we can do. And I just would encourage folks to get involved wherever they can.
Thank you so much, Beth. I think those are great ideas for engaging nurses, and particularly that look at the products and processes. I think a lot of older nurses like myself look back to the days when things were autoclaved or things were reuse and cleaned up and glass instead of plastic and all of that, and to actually study it and to determine what is the best process or how to be most sustainable. And I think nurses are key to working in that. So you've given us so many wonderful ideas in this podcast. I know you could say a lot more because you're one of the most experienced and active nurses that I know in this area. And I hope that it helps to launch other ideas for nurses to get involved with nursing and the environment. So thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out at envirn.org, where you can find many other episodes, such as Beth mentioned. Please leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you next time.